ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम्। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 2 टाइटल्ड हिरण्यकशिपु किंग ऑफ द डीमंस टेक्स्ट नंबर 27। सो वी विल रीड द प्रीवियस टू वर्सेस एंड देन वी विल रिसाइट दिस वर्स। एषात्मविपर्यासो इयालिङ्गे लिङ्गभावना एष प्रिया प्रियर्योगो वियोगाकर्म संश्रिति सम्भवश्च विनाशश्च शोकश्च विविधा स्मृता अविवेकश्च चिन्ता च विवेकस्मृतिरेव च। ट्रान्सलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। In his bewildered state, the living entity accepting the body and mind to be the self considers some people to be his kinsmen and others to be outsiders. Because of this misconception, he suffers. Indeed, the accumulation of such concocted material ideas is the cause of suffering and so-called happiness in the material world. The conditioned soul thus situated must take birth at different species and work in various types of consciousness, thus creating new bodies. This continued material life is called samsara, birth, death and lamentation, foolishness and anxiety are due to such material considerations. Thus we sometimes come to a proper understanding and sometimes fall again to a wrong conception of life. Text 27. अत्रापि उदाहरन्तिमम् इतिहासं पुरातनम् यमस्य प्रेतबन्धुनां संवादं तं निबोधता। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this regard, an example is given from an old history. This involves a discourse between Yamaraj and the friends of a dead person. Please hear it attentively. Purport. The words itihasam puratanam mean an old history. The Puranas are not chronologically recorded, but the incidents mentioned in the Puranas are actual histories of bygone ages. Srimad Bhagavatam is the Mahapurana, the essence of all the Puranas. The Mayavadi scholars do not accept the Puranas, but Srila Madhvacharya and all other authorities accept them as authoritative histories of the world. Hare Krishna. First of all, I like to take blessings from all senior exalted souls who are present here. Thank you very much. So in this chapter, we have been hearing about how eloquently Hiranyakashipu, the title of the chapter is Hiranyakashipu, the King of the Demons, and here he is giving one after another such enlightening instructions to his family members who are in the midst of a crisis. It's a very inauspicious situation where he is speaking such auspicious divine words. So in this last verse, before he is giving an analogy, he is referring to Puranas to emphasize this point that what is the difference between matter and what is spirit, how we are in a bewildered state. So the subsequent verses, there is story about what happened in the history, and Prabhupada here is saying that how these incidents are historical events. Unfortunately, if we go to any bookstores now, these type of subjects, these type of books are kept in one section and it is titled as mythology. So it's an unfortunate part. We can see how people are getting, that itself is another bewildered state. People are getting misled. But here it is very clearly said that these Puranas are, may not be in a chronological order, but these are facts which have happened and they are so illuminating and inspiring. So Srimad Bhagavatam is like this. Here it is actually Narad Muni talking to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And then we go into the story and where Hiranyakashipu is talking now. Again a conversation. And Hiranyakashipu is going back to some another analogy where Yamraj is coming. Then there is in Yamraj, Yamraj is again talking and he is giving another analogy. Like in the movies they say flashback, and in the flashback there is another flashback. So that is anyway, this is Srimad Bhagavatam. Each word are very much relevant. But today's these two verses, of course, Prabhupada talks about how important and authoritative are scriptures. If a person has no faith in scripture, he is miserable in this life and he is miserable in his next life. So faith is something, a gift. And it's very scientific. Any open-minded person, if he has time to read, naturally he will have faith. But in this verse where Hiranyakashipu is talking about a bewildered state, the living entity accepting the body is in a bewildered state. I just remember once one lady was complaining about her husband, that she used to say that my husband, when he's under the influence of alcohol, is so violent, he's so aggressive. But when he's off the influence of alcohol, he's such a sober man. So one sense, material nature is like that. We all are intoxicated and we are talking in that intoxicated state. Obviously, a person in intoxicated, how will he talk? Anyone who is not intoxicated, he can see that. He's crazy. Huh? What is he talking? How is he behaving? From that perspective, he's crazy. So that's what is intoxicated state. And here it is said in this translation, then how all these misconceptions, all these wrong ideas, which leads to suffering, and the nature of material happiness, so-called happiness in the material world. And it takes birth again and again, thus creating new bodies. And this is called samsara. That means this is ocean of birth and death. Imagine where we are. We are in an ocean of birth and death. Just going on and on and on and on. We don't know for how many years we have been doing this. And now one life here, we have a chance to cross over this ocean. Such a rare opportunity. Huh? And here again said that lamentation, foolishness and anxiety. So all these qualities, this materialistic life means these qualities, they breed. It's very natural to have these qualities, anxiety and lamentation and foolishness. Thus we sometimes come to an understanding and sometimes fall again. I mean, that's our life here. Even in satsanga, sometimes we come to an understanding, sometimes we are up and down. We are away from sangha. We have our own ideas of life. When we are with devotees, we are so enthusiastic. Yes, I should surrender, commitment. Just away and immediately material energy and all these type of ideas and desires and sufferings. So this is how I just remembered that she was saying, but it is quite profound. that how we are all in an intoxicated state. We may say that, well, I am not intoxicated. But it's very easy, you know, to assess ourselves. Are we intoxicated or not intoxicated? What happens when we see that others are glorified? Are we very happy or we become envious? So if we become envious, means we are intoxicated. So if you are intoxicated, where is the question about peace? A person who is intoxicated, can he be peaceful? And people are looking out for peace outside. Where is peace? Making all arrangements that we should do this, we should do that. Then there will be peace. Peace is there within. But you are intoxicated. So as the intoxication goes down, it is natural that there will be peace. And that is how, here in this verse, it is emphasized or very elaborately mentioned about the nature of this material world. Same thing is, again, we can assess ourselves. Are we happy with what we have? If not happy, that means we are greedy. Again, that is an intoxicant. So again, you can't be peaceful. So this is a real problem which in this world no one talks about it, because it's all what we call topsy-turvy. Like in school, when we were in school, there was one saying that if wealth is lost, nothing is lost. If health is lost, something is lost. And if character is lost, everything is lost. And now if you see, it is all... you ask any college student, you know, if you talk about this, what do you think about this? No, he'll say, no, it's not. If character is lost, nothing is lost. If health is lost, yes, something is lost. If wealth is lost, everything is lost. So hook or crook, anyway, we should try. Who cares about the character? So as Kali Yuga progresses, everything. So anyway, here Hiranyakashipu is been giving such nice instructions. He is a demon, but he is speaking so well. So it is said, then how is it that, you know, well, a person can speak. Philosophy, we all can speak. There was one question asked here about what if really at the time of death, you know, something comes up, the false ego, and we have some desire, what happens? So Maharaj was speaking about false ego. He said false ego is the foundation of creation. Now you just meditate on this word. False ego is the foundation of creation. And what is creation? How powerful is creation? And foundation of that, how powerful it must be. You know that any building, the most powerful, strongest point of a building is the foundation. Now you are saying it's the foundation of the creation. And that is our false ego. We may understand, or a lot of knowledge we may have, but that enjoying mentality, that I am the enjoyer, which is a root cause how we have come here, that is so deep, it's not so easy to give up. So that is what it means, false ego. You can't give up. So you are saying that means we have to be just dependent for the Lord's mercy, that if He is merciful, He may remove it. On our own, it is impossible. We cannot do it. So that teaches how dependent we have to be for that mercy, so that we can understand what is higher truth or experience in life. So in this state, I was just thinking about how our body, we say these prayers, you know, Sharira Vidya Jal Jyotendriya Thayekal, how our body is a lump of ignorance, and this network of senses, how we have acquired it, and then what we must be talking, what we must be speaking about, all are coming through this. It's really craziness. So this is how once a magician came and he was inspiring, I mean he was not inspiring, well, even the disciples of Prabhupada were very much, he could make so many things, illusory, just some manipulation of material energy. And he was making things like hang up, not they're not coming down. He was making something stop. So after the performance, Prabhupada asked him, can you stop birth and death? So the magician, he impressed so many of them. But when he was asked that, can you stop birth and death? He said, no, I can't do that. So Prabhupada said, I can do that. Prabhupada said, and Prabhupada had this science. Prabhupada had this. Yes, I can do that. Once Prabhupada was himself saying, what is science? Science is to see things as they are. So what we are seeing in this is not as they are. What we speak is not as they are in that state. So Prabhupada would say that these people who are in this world have cataract. People have cataract. Let them come to me and I will remove their cataract. Now what he meant by cataract was, of course, spiritual cataract. Not the material cataract which we know of. So he said, I'll remove their cataract and I will give them real vision. One sense, the government is very alarmed and it's talking about that so many people have cataracts and this is something which can be corrected. I'm talking about material vision. Of course, eye is a very important organ. Unless we lose it, we'll not know the value of it. Maybe those who are using glasses, they may sometimes understand that what is the value of vision. If you lost your spectacles, and then how desperately you are searching for it, and once you wear it, how you feel? So nice. Oh, this is what it is. So clear. So Prabhupada is talking about spiritual vision and cataract. Let them come and operate. And we see there are a lot of statistics where they talk about in this area, there are so many people who have cataract and we should make them cataract free. But what about spiritual cataracts? If you have to take statistics of spiritual cataract, how many there will be? Practically everyone. Everyone has. So, but there have been saints in the history. We see there were saints. They were practically blind. But they had the vision. They could see. They could see. They had spiritual vision. They could see 24 hours. They could see Krishna 24 hours. Now, well, if we talk like this, people may say, oh, this is too much, you know, too big hype on philosophy, talking about seeing God and all. But actually, spiritual vision doesn't mean that you see God. How you change your perception in life? Chanakya Pandit said that real perception, real spiritual vision is, he said three things. He says, you see other women as your mother. Now this is perception. Do you see other women as your mother? You see others' wealth like pebbles. And you see other living entities as your own self. Now this is spiritual vision. To see other women as your mother and to see others' wealth as pebbles. This needs real type of a vision, or in other words, not to be envious. There is one short story about how perception. There was one couple, both of them were devotees, and they were walking. Husband was walking in front. Vedic culture, the wife was following him from a little distance. So when the husband, he was walking in front, he saw in front there was a lump of gold lying. So he thought, oh my God, if my wife sees this, she is going to tell me that, you know, we should take it. It's just lying on the road. So he was in a hurry that before she reaches, before she sees, I will cover it up. So before she could reach, he removed some mud and he was trying to cover up. But she came and she saw. She asked, what are you doing? So he didn't say anything. He was coming up. You are covering one mud with another mud? He was shocked. Actually, she was more advanced than him. Because she was seeing gold and mud as same. And she was telling him, why are you covering one mud with another mud? Now this is a perception. Now, this is real spiritual vision. So there are several stories like this. We can go on and on. But Chanakya Pandit talking about these things, which is something the world should be talking about. Not that you're seeing God. This is what is needed. Bhagavad Gita says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavyastini Suni Chaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshina. To see other living entities as one, to have that vision, that's very spiritual. So to see everyone. This is from Bhagavad Gita, and this is what means to awaken spiritual vision. Of course, for that it is not necessary that a person should be blind or he should not be blind. We have one story in Mahabharata where how just hearing the holy name, the power of holy name can awaken this spiritual vision. We all know that how Dhritarashtra was both materially and spiritually blind. And first time when Sanjaya came, he had gone to Virat and then he came back and he was asking, who were there? And of course he said Krishna was also there. Then who is this Krishna? You mean talking about that Devaki Putra Krishna? So Sanjaya said, he is, yes, Devaki Putra, but you know who is he? He started talking about Krishna's greatness, that he put all the power of the universe, he cannot much, he has come here to kill us. Arjuna is there, no one can defeat, everything. But still that didn't, Dhritarashtra was still thinking. But then he started asking, does he have names? What names he has? So he started speaking about Krishna's different names. Rishikesha, Narayana. And all words have names, I mean meanings. Of course, it's not like we have been given names by biological parents. Or, of course, Diksha is like a second birth. Krishna doesn't take birth, so his names are all depending upon his qualities and pastimes. So he went on saying all these names and Dhritarashtra is hearing all these names, you know. Purushottama, Rishikesha, Narayana, Govinda. So when he heard all these names, his heart changed. He completely sobered. Immediately there was some spiritual vision and he called Duryodhan. My son Duryodhan, I think we should surrender. He got that knowledge that we are fools. We realized. But Duryodhan was so envious of Pandavas. This could not penetrate. So that is how again, up and down as it is said, that he heard it, then again he went back. So Dhritarashtra, because of his attachment to his son, it is said the degree you are attached to the kinsman, it is said that to that degree you become blind to instructions, good instructions. I was hearing from a devotee that it is the mother who is the last one to will come to know that her son is into something, you know. The neighbors may come and tell, like in the college, someone may say, no, he's into, he's taking drugs and all. But the mother, I think it's not true. Why? She's the last one. She's the last one. Because of affection and attachment, she's hearing, but no. But then when it's too late, that is what affection causes blindness. Attachment causes blindness. And these are all sufferings. And as it is said here, so-called happiness in the material world. We all know that there is no happiness here in this material world. It is just a relief from suffering. A very nice example given about those old days where they would punish a criminal by putting his head under water, and they would hold it. It will hold it enough that just more 3 or 4 minutes, and then they will lift him up. So that is happiness for him. Just relief from suffering. So this is the nature of happiness here in this world. There is actually only unhappiness, misery. But there is some relief that is lifted up, and that is what we call as happiness. And this time during Mayapur Yatra, His Holiness Maharaj was speaking about the nature of happiness. He said, material happiness is very relative. He was giving a very nice example that you may be earning 1 lakh rupees, but if your neighbor is earning 1 lakh 10,000, then you're not happy. Because he's earning more than 10,000 more than. So what is the use of 1 lakh rupees? In 1 lakh you can do so many things. You can live a very comfortable life. But he's earning more than me. So he's not happy. So there is no happiness. Not only that, for happiness in this material world, we also need people to show off. If there is no one to see our enjoyment, again you are not happy. You may have everything. You may have some possessions, some clothes, this. But if there is no one to appreciate, you are not happy. Again, your happiness is dependent on, there should be some family members to see and appreciate. But what degree it can go on? So I was giving one very, how a person can become so cruel also. He can lose his intelligence just to acquire that happiness. He was saying about one villager, he had some tantric person, gave him some benediction. He said, yes, whatever you desire, you will get it. But he also said that, but your neighbor will get double of that. You will get, but then double. He didn't hear that properly. But he said, I'm going to get it. So he was a villager, he came to the village. And now, village means all, there are all, you know, one ground storied building. So he decided, if my house is one storied, then I can come out and show off and people will come and. So he desired that, let my house be, you know, one storied top. So immediately there was, you know, his cottage raised to one story, and he came out, and but he saw his neighbors is two storied. So he said, what is the use, you know? But he wanted that everyone will come and say that was his pleasure. So this way it went on. Whatever he asked, the neighbor is to get doubles. So imagine, what did he ask for? He said, let me be blind by one eye. So he wanted his neighbor to be blind by two eyes. So that was his happiness. So this is the nature of material happiness here in this world. And people are struggling without proper knowledge that this is what will make anyone happy. And Hiranyakashipu is also speaking. So he's a demon. But he's talking about, so these type of experiences or real happiness will never arise. As we read daily, we chant this offense to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions. So as far as there is material attachments, go on, nourishing. At the same time, even if you know the philosophy, even if you are chanting, there will be no real happiness. So, book distribution marathon and Puranas literature. So this is how His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj was, I think that day, mentioned some statistics that in the history never before was Vedic literature distributed like this. He quoted some figure. I think it will be something, some in millions. So that will be real history. Talking about history, Puranas here, this will be history which very few people in the world will know, that how this Prabhupada is opening up people's eyes by distributing all these books all over the world, they are lying flooded. He said some figure which I don't remember, but it's some survey was done, and in ISKCON society for last so many years, how many literature was distributed all over the world? This is real history. At Prabhupada is saying real history. This is going to bring a revolution. We may not be able to, or we may not be there to witness, but that is going to be there. He said that ISKCON will be known, as Prabhupada said, savior of the world. Another 10,000 years is still a good era, but will be known in the history that ISKCON was the one who saved the world. So words itihasam purathanam means an old history, and I'm sure Prabhupada's name will be there in this history, that he's the one who did this distribution of books. I'm sorry, I don't have anything much to speak. So this is it. I'm not doing book distribution, so I hope I can inspire people who are doing book distribution, the value of book distribution, how it is going to open people's... People are suffering, open up their eyes, and they will experience some real happiness. And in this age, to open up, anyone can do that, is chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Anyone has any... Krishna Nam Prabhu, Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your very nice class, Prabhu. You were saying with so much of conviction that this material place is a place of misery. There is really no chance for us to find happiness. And also you said that one of the offenses to chanting the holy names is to keep or to have material attachments in spite of understanding so many instructions on this matter. My specific question was in connection with the Grihastha Ashram. We see that particularly in ISKCON, it is quoted sometimes in some places that the divorce rate is much higher than what it is there in the outside world. So we as devotees, we have this particular understanding that this material world is a place of misery. It's not going to give us any happiness. But yet we find that we have devotees who are moving from one marriage to another marriage, trying to find that particular happiness, which is not going to be there, in spite of understanding that actually to live the life as a celibate would be much more, relatively speaking, happier. So how does one understand this from a devotee perspective? It's a little bit bewildering to me.
I can say that someone joins Brahmachari Ashram, they get a lot of training. They know exactly, you know, they have ETA, what is Brahmachari Ashram. He's already prepared. He knows. He's watching, before he joins, he's watching very closely what type of a life these Brahmacharis have. Will I be able to adapt to that? So he's already prepared. But unfortunately, we... We do matchmaking and then finish. Now you are on your own. So as far as Grihastha training is concerned, I think we are not trained still, that part. Brahmachari training is going on. So my answer to this question will be whatever, you know. If I can speak from my own experience about how our perception changes, how you understand what is the responsibility of Grihastha Ashram, what is the role of husband. There are so many things, both ways. The role, the responsibility, and the relationship with other ashram. Now, this is knowledge. So, as it is said, But like I think this time Radhanath Maharaj was saying in his, he himself was addressing us, he said sometimes we think that we have such high philosophy, you know. We think we have transcended the mode of goodness also. So we don't think that we have to be nice or, you know, we have transcended that. It's really foolishness. To be in the mode of goodness, what things you have to behave like, how you have to behave. So, if we have such hearing regularly, I'm sure the vision will change. Naturally, there will be some understanding where very joyful. We have heard so many lectures that how a man is dependent and how wife is dependent on man and how both of them together it's a teamwork and how they can experience that joy. As you remember, I think once I had gone for some this was a devotee's new house and I also happened to be there, and His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj just went into all different rooms, bedroom, this, that, and he went to the bathroom, he went to the kitchen. He saw all the places. It's a new house. Then he said, this place is not different from Vaikuntha, provided the people who stay here follow the religious principles. Now you just think, where is Vaikuntha? What access we have to Vaikuntha? Vaikuntha, where there is no anxiety. But he said that it's not different. That means that Vaikuntha can be. So same those principles, those. You are in that committee, so why don't you start? Yes, Govind Prabhu, you want to comment on this? He is asking a very sensitive question, that devotees, still why we are like this.
We're discussing this concept that there is a, you know, value-based life. If you give more importance to values and principles, then you don't worry about the surrounding. And then second is the convenient. For the sake of convenience. If it is convenient, then you practice devotional life. It is not convenient, you don't practice. There is more attachment to the body. And Kali Yuga is where overwhelming attachment to the material body is there. So therefore, if it is not convenient to be with one person, then you find somebody else. But if you understand the value and the importance of principles and values, if it is convenient or if it is not convenient, if the principles are practiced, then you continue to practice the religious principle very strictly. Therefore, there's a difference between previous yuga and this yuga. Previous yuga, they would give less importance to body, but more importance to... Even Jarasan said, he said, I don't care giving up my body, but I can't give up the principles of a kshatriya, of giving charity. Even a demon had those value and principle when Krishna and Bhima and Arjuna approached. But in Kali Yuga, even we devotees who are kanishtas, we are very much concerned about our body. And therefore, if there is a choice between giving comforts to this material body and comforts to our soul, we make the choice of comforting our body. That is a very unfortunate. But the principle of devotional service is Bhagavad speaks. Bali Maharaj is there, Mritrasur is there, Parikshit Maharaj is there. So whoever practices that values, then he makes greater advancement. So basically these two things. Which one is important to you? Values or convenient? So if it is convenience sake, then there is no rules. And if it is principle's sake, then there is no convenience. This is my understanding.
can talk. It's, they have to go for book distribution. It's time. Is there? Is there time? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prabhupada book distribution marathon ki jai. Hare Krishna.